I just believe in the process, and we're going to win going through the process.
Now, Bills Mafia, it's time for the main event. So sit back and enjoy the show.
Bills Mafia, welcome to Red, White and Buffalo Blues. Matt, Robin and Mark here to talk Bills news with a UK twist. And on what was a sad day, turned into a joyful evening or morning.
It's what she would have wanted. Yeah, it's what she would have wanted.
Yeah. She wanted the Bills to win.
Yeah.
The Bills won.
Yeah.
I think you'd call it not just a win. What would you call it? Statement, massacre?
Mauling.
I think it was a physical discourtesy. Yes. It wasn't just the points. It was the fact it really should have been 50 and might even have been 40, beg your pardon. Could easily have been 40, might even have been 50. Such was the gap between the two teams.
I've never been so happy to be completely wrong on a prediction.
That's fair.
Yeah, never been so happy. It was an annihilation. It was only as close as it was because of us.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what they say? Whose house is it?
Josh's house,
first of all, don't they? They share the house with another team, so it's
well.
But that always winds me up.
Yeah.
Whose house? Well, you know.
Do they do that at the San Siro? Or
probably. Maybe. But no, I read somewhere that the Chargers fans should be owed an apology from like the Rams fans or something like that, because we went there and pretty much it was almost like an away match for the Rams, because the Bills just made the most noise out of both sets of fans. And obviously the Chargers were always given grief when they moved from San Diego into the SoFi Stadium, mainly from Rams fans. And we just turned them in their own backyard and there was pretty much silent as a dormouse.
So apparently Stafford was having to use a silent cam, wasn't he? Because the away fans were making that much noise.
I think that's quite common for LA teams, regardless, because people vacation there and it's a nice place to go. You get a lot of tourist fans there as well. And I think that LA teams traditionally suffer from that. I think there was still a good portion of Rams fans there and they were making a lot of noise, but I do think that there was it's so I don't think that necessarily played too much of a factor into it, because I think Stafford's used to that. In that stadium, he has to use silent counts a lot. So yeah, I'd like to think they wouldn't use that as a reason why we absolutely stuffed them.
I think Sean McVay used an excuse there with SGM. They had to go to silent counts, and that really helped us a lot more on the penetration front. But then again, it's LA. They're full of, well, this is probably going to be an unpopular opinion here, but they're full of fair weather fans. Yeah. You've got so many different teams. They can be fair weather fans.
There's a lot to do in LA.
Yeah.
It's too much. It's fair weather fans. They're not going to make that much noise. So there shouldn't be need for a signing count. But yet you get probably the best traveled fans in the NFL going down to California. And you just see all the social media pictures, videos from Twitter, Instagram, TikTok and all that. Just how much the Bills Mafia travel and make that noise, you just kind of think that you might as well be a home game for the Bills rather than an away game.
Yeah, it's got to help. It's got to help, certainly us. Yeah. It's nice.
But we go in there, 31-10 win against the reigning Super Bowl champions.
Yep.
And, well, where do we really start? Where can you start in a game like this? There's so many positives, a few negatives. I mean,
I think, do you know what? I think that's the thing for me that is the best bit, almost. The fact that I didn't know. Obviously, I predicted us to lose the game. And last season we went into the regular season with an awful lot of optimism. And the first couple of games we didn't click particularly brilliantly. So there's always a couple of questions about, you know, is the team going to live up to the hype? Are they going to be as good as you expected? And they were in almost every aspect that you could hope for, but it wasn't perfect by any stretch of the imagination, especially first half. there was mistakes. So this team apparently is brilliant, but can get better. And that's scary for other teams, man. It's,
yeah,
you know, it's the possibilities for this team are unreal. Unreal.
I mean, it kind of made it easier. The fact that obviously the Rams didn't have Van Jefferson, he was out. Allen Robinson, who I think most Bills fans, when he hit the free agency, wanted them to go after, was pretty much an afterthought on there. They only really had Cooper Kupp there. And yet it's like when you're the Chiefs and you take away Tyreek Hill. You play Chiefs and you take, well, previously you play Chiefs, you take away Tyreek Hill. You have got others on there, but they bear, that's a bad example, really, isn't it?
I don't think Tyreek Hill and Van Jefferson's a good player, but he wasn't their star receiver. It made a difference that he wasn't there, but I don't think it mattered because our pass rush was so good. He could have had Tyreek Hill out there, and I don't think it would have been brilliant. And that's proper exciting. If one thing that we struggled with last year is getting to the quarterback, we didn't blitz once and we sacked the guy seven times and hit him 15 more times. If we've added that wrinkle to our game now, I mean, as Rich Eisen said on his show, we are coming for your souls.
Yeah, I keep thinking about the
That's a great hashtag. That's a great title. That's a great hashtag to use.
Oh, yeah. Richard, he said it on his. He actually said it a couple of years ago, didn't he? About Josh Allen, because he kind of picked it a few years. Yeah. He's a Jets fan as well, so he picked it because he has this whole thing about we all had to put up with Brady for 20 years, and just as Brady leaves, and the Jets fans decide, we might have a chance now. Suddenly, Josh Allen comes along now another 10 years are going to go by with the Jets not being able to do anything. So. But you know what? The thing that I keep thinking about is the Chiefs-Bucks Super Bowl of a couple of years ago, and how do you beat the Chiefs? Because I think a lot of people basically had them as the clear favourite to win that, and the Bucks basically blew them away. Bucks blew them away because they were able to get pressure on Mahomes before, and they didn't have to blitz, which meant they could cover. And it's only one game, but that's what the Bills are able to do. They're able to put pressure with four guys.
And well, you look at it last season.
That could make all the difference.
It's exactly the same as last season. When you think about the Chiefs game, we didn't really get enough pressure on Mahomes that whole game. They do it. Next game, the Bengals do get a lot of pressure on Mahomes and they annihilate them. And that's what they've been trying. All those defensive ends that they've been drafting over the last couple of years are clearly starting to, like Boogie Basham and Greg Rousseau, I thought played well. But the step up that they, as a unit they've made, I think, because Von Miller's now in the mix.
Yeah.
It was another level to what we've seen before.
Yeah. I mean, out of our front seven or front four, the rotation, the nine we had out there, who do you think, and this is according to Next Gen Stats, so I've got this from, was the top Bills pressure guy?
Out of all of them, it wouldn't surprise me if it was someone like. If it wouldn't surprise me if it was someone like Tim Settle or Jordan Phillips.
I wouldn't be surprised if it was Jordan Phillips.
It was Jordan Phillips.
Yeah.
Quarterback pressure of 26.1.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
And second,
he looks happy as a clam as well, doesn't he? He looked completely relaxed and.
We didn't see that Jordan Phillips when he was in Buffalo the first time around, did we? It wasn't. I mean, he's either progressed a lot or he's
second year. I think it's last year. He ended up with 9.5 sacks.
Yeah.
So he actually did well. I mean, just on that pressure leader, we actually we pressured 16 times on 48 drops back. Six of those were by Jordan Phillips. Five apiece for Von Miller and Epinesa. Daquan Jones with four and Rousseau with three.
That's amazing.
So you've got three edge rushers, two defensive tackles as your top five pressure leaders on that on the sacks.
And I'm sure Ed Oliver would be on that list as well if he managed to stay fit the whole time.
Yeah, definitely. And I think what you could say is that now we've got that piece in and it really didn't affect that much our secondary. we obviously had a rookie starting, or we had two rookies rotating. Surprised that Benford got the start.
Yeah, that was a shock to me, but he more than held his own, didn't he?
Yeah. But you look at it, and did they really get challenged that much? No, because of the pressure, we managed to get up front. And I think the investment that Beans made and wisely went around doing it, actually getting the likes of Settle, Jones, Phillips back in, getting Von Miller, really shows that you're going to win this game, or you're going to get the pressure and make it easier on your team by going after that passer, whether you blitz or not. And that's what he's done. He's always known to fill the trenches and build from the trenches outwards. Fill the back seven with draft picks or low round picks, but make sure that money and the more physical aspect of it goes on that D line. And with the rotation, I think that we're going to be too much for most offenses to handle.
Yes. Yeah. And we've been saying it the whole off season, haven't we? By improving the pass rush and the D line in general, you take the pressure off the cornerbacks. And obviously, speaking about being wrong about things, I was completely wrong about Trey Wright coming back for the start of the season. And now it's become glaringly obvious why they haven't had to rush Trey White back, and why they might leave it till after the bye, or maybe come back in the Jets game of the ninth game or something like that, because they like what they have in the secondary. And they're not going to be under the same amount of pressure that they were before. So yes, they can they can bring Benford and Elam, who are going to have perhaps a slightly more or a slightly less manic introduction to the league, because they don't have to make all the plays. I mean, I think Benford only gave up, I think it was three catches. I should have looked it up. I think he had three catches against him for like 29 yards. One of them was to Cooper Kupp, which is fair enough. Like, he's going to beat you a couple of times. That's one about him. They're going to lose out to Cooper Kupp, aren't they? So he seemed pretty comfortable. And they'll probably swap him around with Elam.
I thought Elam looked pretty good when he came in as well.
They're fine. There was nothing glaring. I was worried about, you know, maybe giving up a flag or a DPI or something like that. But no, not really.
Just think that these two can then... Well, not sit, but they can, in inverted commas, sit behind White and Jackson for the season to learn, just like you do with quarterbacks when they actually, and obviously, as much as I hate to say it, Mahomes is an example of that. He managed to sit behind Alex Smith for a year or so, and then look what he's actually turned out now. Yeah. You do the same having White and Jackson with Hyde and Poyer there. You've got Benford and you've got Elam, who could be the stars for the next 5-6 years onwards, learning steadily, getting rotated in gently.
Yeah.
Yep.
It also means you've got that conveyor belt that, you know, when Trey comes to the end of his deal, you've still got two guys that can come in. I mean, and switching to Poyer, the news came in today, they've restructured and given Poyer a bit more, $1.5 million more, haven't they, in his bonuses and that sort of thing. So I don't think that'll stop him leaving, because I think they've got a guy. I think Hamlin comes in or Johnson comes in, and again, you just drop off when you come to the end of that, because you've got guys that you've been bringing through the ranks.
The future's
very bright.
You're looking at it. We obviously mentioned that there was no blitzing from the Bills at all in that game. This is a stat I want to see, especially you, Robin, if you can actually identify it. Yeah. They've only been, since the new next-gen stats came out, which was 2016, there have only been three games where defense has not blitzed at all.
Yeah.
Obviously, which teams were they?
Oh, that's a good question. Where it is, since is that including 2016? Well, that makes
that's including 2016.
So from 2016, only three games, and the Bills are the fourth of those games.
Yes.
Okay. So there's three of the games where the defense did not blitz once.
I think the Raiders are quite well known for being not heavy blitzers.
Yeah. I'd maybe say. Well, I mentioned Tampa Bay getting pressure with four, so maybe then maybe Broncos.
No.
Oh. Okay, give up.
Was it all Buffalo?
All Buffalo.
There we go.
All Buffalo, all under Sean McDermott.
Week six.
Week six in 2020 against Kansas City. Week five in 2021 against Kansas City. And obviously, well, as there's three games and it's last and Thursday.
Wow.
Three games have only been won when the defense has not blitzed or had defense not blitz. All three of them under Sean McDermott and under a Buffalo team.
No blitz, Sean. Wow, how about that?
And this is probably as much no blitz Leslie Frazier.
Yeah.
Yes, quite.
And that's interesting. I like it because what you're doing there is, you know, you're protecting your corners, protecting your secondary, keeping your linebackers in play for those. And when you're playing the Chiefs, that kind of makes sense. When you've got someone like Travis Kelce, who's such a weapon, you want to have your linebackers in place to try and guard him. And blitzing, unless you're going to get to the quarterback, doesn't help. The fact that I suspect a bit of it was before we didn't blitz because he didn't think our talent was enough to get home, even if they do. Now it feels like we don't have to, but the talent is good enough to get the pressure on regardless. If we can get to the quarterback rushing four, that's Bills stepping up, which is scary.
And it's also the fact that it seemed like, okay, they don't know what's going on with Cam Akers, and I did have him in one of my dynasty leagues, which I think I might be actually dropping him soon enough on there. But
that was weird, wasn't it? I didn't expect him to play as little as he did.
Yeah, even Henderson didn't have a good game. But the fact is that what we're potentially seeing is this run game against us. Actually, last year was probably our worst.
Yeah.
As a defense, our rush defense. This one game, what was it? I think Henderson had 13 carries for 47 yards, 3.6 average.
Yeah.
Brandon Powell, 1 for 3 yards. Matthew Stafford, 1 for 2 yards. Cam Akers, 3 for 0 yards.
It's a good effort. Good effort, Cam. Good effort there, Cam.
Thanks for coming. I watched the game at my one of my best mate's house, who is a Rams fan. He told me two really interesting things, which is one, the run game has been poor for a while. They've either got issues with the O-line that they just can't open up the gaps for them. And the other thing he said, which is maybe a slight pivot point, Jalen Ramsey has been kind of living off his reputation for quite some time and has actually been... So he's not the man he once was, and so they're keeping it quiet and kind of, you know, but he's like saying, yeah, he's not that good anymore.
So I think you need to take that with a pinch of salt. And I know that this is PFF, so you can also take that with a pinch of salt. But PFF, he was still the number one ranked cornerback last season.
Don't get me wrong, I don't think he's bad
by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah, don't get me wrong, Ramsey is probably one of those top cornerbacks in the league on there. I mean, it's a fact that he pretty much gave up a perfect passer rating.
Yeah.
Quarterback passer rating, 158.3 time.
And isn't it so much sweeter because of what you had to say about Josh when he came out of college?
Yeah. Yes, it just makes it that much more. Couldn't happen to a more deserving player, could it?
Yeah, yeah. I love it.
I mean... Bills have faced the Rams, or Josh Allen's faced Jalen Ramsey 3 times. His record is 3-0. Total pass yards, 768. 11 total touchdowns, 163 total rush yards.
Struggles against him for being... You see why he thinks he's trash, right?
Yeah. I think even when we go on to the offense now, because there's quite a nice bit to just digest on there. I think when we did draft Josh Allen there, I will be first to admit that I wasn't high on him. I wasn't high on him that high where we actually drafted him. So I hold my hands up and say, yeah, I actually made a little bit of a narrow judgment to prejudged on the fact he was Wyoming with barely any college, or if any, scholarships on there. But it's how he's turned it around, and now we've got this offense cooking where we want. And to me, I don't even see any drop off from Dable to Dorsey.
No.
I think right now. Go on.
Right now, I think Josh Allen is the best quarterback in the NFL. I don't think there is. I don't think there's too much debate. There's a couple of others in there still, but I think right now, because of what he can do with his legs, because of like the ease with which he plays in this offense now, we're talking about, you know, that Rams D is a good defense, and to only have five incompletions in a game is ridiculous, and still to be our top rusher.
Technically, it's only three incompletions.
Quite.
In red commas, because there's two interceptions actually did get caught.
That's true. But to do that, to be our lead rusher, he's just the best. I wouldn't trade him for anybody else in the world. Someone could come up to me and say, I'll swap you Mahomes now for Josh Allen. I wouldn't take it.
No, I wouldn't change him either. I'll tell you something interesting that I noticed as well, and a few people after the game spotted it, is that he was one of those players that would, one of the quarterbacks that would hold onto the ball, and he was often holding onto it for about 3 seconds before letting it go. Those short passes zipping them out, those short lasers, and he's getting rid of it now at 2.5 seconds. He's probably less than 2.5 seconds as well. And that was always not a weak spot necessarily, but sometimes those quick short passes, he's worked on that in the offseason. I wonder if that's what one of the things him and Dorsey have been trying to do, because they were just absolutely
and you kind of have to do that, don't you, when you know that Aaron Donald's coming.
Because Aaron Donald's on his way.
But I remember them saying during the game that there was at one point, I think his average spike to release was like 1.7 seconds.
And
I don't care who you are, you cannot get to the quarterback in less than 2 seconds. And I think he only had one pass over 20 yards, which was the touchdown to Diggs. Everything else was that dink dunk, but laser accurate, in quickly, and it tore him up. They couldn't live with it.
And then when he had to as well, then in the second half, you know, they'd got so used to short passes. Well, what did the defense do? They start creeping up the field like more and more and more. And then he unleashes the one to Davis down the field. He unleashes the one to Diggs for the touchdown as well. So the deep ball's still there. Like you can keep it short. But eventually the defense is going to move up, and then bang, you hit them long. He can beat you short. He can beat you long. He can beat you with the legs.
Yeah, I mean, you've got Gabe Davis, who's actually breaking out. I mean, Crowder, he had a couple of drops. I think one of the interceptions kind of was on him, but mainly on Josh for just throwing a little bit behind.
I forget the Rams guy, but he tracked it really well, and it was a good pick as well. So it's a 6-1 off, isn't the other, isn't it? It was a good pick, a slightly bad throw, and maybe Crowder could have done a bit more.
But the fact. Yeah. The fact for those, he's actually, 3, 6, 7 different receivers caught a pass from Josh Allen, including two running backs. So he is getting those, spreading those targets out. And I say, my attribute, obviously, Ken Dorsey, what he's come in, he's pretty much kept the playbook almost the same as Dable's, maybe had his own little spin on it. But I think the most important signing, which has really helped us this season, is Cromer. Aaron Cromer on the offensive line coach.
They look really strong.
And Saffold is the guard. With that combined.
Allen only got sacked, twice? Yeah. I don't think he really got that much pressure on him.
And to only be sacked twice when you're facing Aaron Donald, Bobby Wagner, that's actually incredible.
What was it? Aaron Donald only had two tackles in that game. One of them was a sack.
Yeah.
So you've got a guy in Cromer who's pretty much rebuilt this line, actually given him a lot more confidence, and opened up the game. Because, I mean, Singletary, he only had 48 yards on 8 carries, but there were times you saw on there, they had the vision, and he actually managed to make a few decent yards on there because of that offensive line. And the times where Josh Allen didn't have to do the quick ball, and he actually could pick out have time in the pocket to pick out, he was pretty much clean. There was no one even getting anywhere near him. And I say, you've got Terrell Lewis, you've got Aaron Donald, you've got Bobby Wagner in there, and you've got two lockdown corners, or two corners who can lock down, in Ramsey and Troy Hill. That you still managed to get that offensive line. And I think this is our starting, should be our starting line. Actually managed to keep him up and keep him safe.
Yeah. It was nice to see Spencer Brown play as well as he did as well. I think there were a lot of people who thought that Quesenberry was going to start. But Spencer Brown, I thought, looked really strong. And it was a bit, what was nice was when the O-line was going one-on-one against Donald, Josh saw that, knew that it was coming, knew chances are he's going to get past single coverage. And he just got the ball out really quickly. So it was they did enough. And when they were double teaming Donald, they kept him quiet.
Yeah. And it's really good to see the fact that he's actually, and you see how much Josh has now grown on there, and the fact that he's actually leading this team. This team I've been going back and watching the whole of Game of Thrones. I never saw it till like last week. And it's almost like everyone's pledging allegiance to Alan, and they'll actually
it's the die king of the North.
And that's what you see in what makes a leader and what makes his team tick. The fact that everyone's gonna trust Josh, and just the way every year everyone thinks, okay, there's going to be a regression. There's going to be a regression. There's going to be a regression. Maybe there will be a little bit of regression, but we see almost like a new and improved Josh Allen every year.
Yeah, he does. He looks very comfortable. His pocket presence is even better. There's still some occasions, you know, when we were up 21 points and he's running on a second down, and you've got one of the when you've got the D-line grabbing his leg when it's up in the air. I don't need to see that. I do not want Josh Allen to get smashed out of a season on some stupid second and six when you're 21 points up in a match. But I like the fact that he's got that in his locker, and he always seems to like just bounce straight back up afterwards, and loves the fact that he's been hit.
I can't believe we made it this far and not mentioned the stiff arm as well.
I don't know if you've seen
any of the stills like afterwards. He's not just smiling, he's actually laughing while he's doing it. And there's a still of the, because that's on the Rams side of the field as well, and you could see the mouth agape of some of the sideline staffs as the quarterback just shoves the guy into the ground and laughs while he does it. So, like, I mean, I think all of us were all agreed, like, God's sake, just get down, just hand it off or throw it away. Don't do the runs. But it's almost like stopping him from doing that is almost stopping a part of who he is. Yeah, I think we just have to accept that he's going to take those risks, and we just have to be okay with it. I'd love it if he didn't and just stayed in the pocket, but it's almost like that's not who he is. He wants
I'm just looking forward to Tuesday when Good Morning Football's on and Carl Brandt does his Angry Run segment.
Yeah.
We know how much he ordered on the Bills and Josh Allen, and I'm looking forward to seeing how he describes that.
Yeah.
So when you're like, as it was, I can't remember what point the game was, but it felt like it was still a match at that stage. The one I was talking about is, you know, we've got a comfortable lead with like 5 minutes to go. Let's not go crazy.
Yeah.
You know, calm down a little bit there, Josh, because I want to see you doing this for, you know, like 20 games this season, not just seven, not just like five.
Yeah. And I think it's good that the team wasn't rattled. I mean, they had that opening drive where they pretty much dissected the Rams defense up. Then they had a few series where there was fumble by the rookie James Cook, obviously a couple of interceptions on there. And the fact that somehow the Rams really didn't take advantage of that. We went to half 10-10, which probably should have been a lot more either way. Because obviously the Bills, if they didn't turn it over, probably would have gone down and scored and added points. The Rams could have actually scored points on those turnovers. But it's like how they didn't panic. And Sean McDermott said this in his press, in his post-game thing. That first play from the kickoff in the second half was pretty much the turning point for it. The fact that they managed to stuff him, Brandon Powell decided to run it out, they stuffed him, and from there, the momentum really of the Rams was demoralized. The Bills started playing a lot more confidently, and we saw the result by actually beating them by 21 points in their own backyard. And the one thing, welcome to Buffalo, Sam Martin. Let's hope all you have to do for the season is just hold the ball for time.
We don't sign punters, we sign holders.
No punts. Fourth time in six games, I think someone was saying.
Yeah. Brilliant. It's ridiculous. That's unheard of.
Yes, it really is ridiculous. And like I say, I was kind of fuming at 10-all kind of thing. It's like the Rams almost could have got a touchdown in that final possession. Could have gone in behind after
Which was ludicrous based on how the half had gone.
Yeah. And yet we didn't let it bother us. We came in, came out of the halftime, all right, back to business. And then we played the way we should. And with the exception of the Moss fumble near the end, it was an almost, almost flawless second half, wasn't it?
And that's
came out and went, forget about it. We're just going
and
to
that's actually there. Extraordinary, because if you look throughout the annals of history in the NFL, anytime you have a game where your team, where you're the home team struggling, get let off a little bit before halftime, so you're still in the game. If you look throughout history, the home team then gets their act together and goes on and wins the game after that. But in actual fact, it was us that got ourselves together and progressed on. Again, it was remarkable. And that's a job of coaching. That's a job of leadership in the locker room to go in and say, like, I don't know how this is 10-all. This isn't a 10-all game. Keep doing your thing. Let's cut out the mistakes. And that's exactly what they did.
Yeah. And then straight back, end of the game. It's like, yeah, great, get the win. And they're not going to let it worry them. But we just beat the Super Bowl champions in their own backyard.
Yeah, next game.
Get back on the plane. Got a home game coming up against the Titans, which will be interesting.
Because what we need to do now is, different test, isn't it now? When it's Derrick Henry.
A lot of rookie
defense. Yeah, very, 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 very different test. What if we see that level of performance again, I'm quite excited.
We've got a longer rest. I mean, what was it? We're playing Monday night, which is actually a bank holiday now.
It's a shame that Tuesday is not a bank holiday, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, lucky for me, I've got Tuesday off. But I've got to get up early, take my bloody work van in for its service. So that's kind of puts the plan off it, but I can then sleep afterwards after that. Definitely. But we've got 11 days rest. The Titans, they're only going to have 7 days. So hopefully we'll be a little bit more rested. Hopefully Ed Oliver and what was reported was an ankle injury. Actually, it's not that bad.
He was back on the field, wasn't he, towards the end? So I think he's fine.
Yeah.
But the fact
he wasn't being treated. Bit of rest, a few days.
The fact that with this newly formed D-line, I can see it, and we will review this in the next show when we actually preview the Titans game. We will see a much more improved run defense against Derrick Henry, because I believe the fact that, I think, was it you? Which one of you two said that Daquan Jones was probably the most important? Was it one of you guys said it early in the season?
It sounds like something that we said, but I can't tell.
Yeah,
I can't remember who. Definitely one of us.
Something I read that someone else said. But the words probably came out of my mouth, but it wasn't my thinking.
But the fact that we've got this D-line that actually can stop and can get pressure without the blitz, I think we're setting ourselves up, and this is a game, really, the Rams, the statement game, saying that we're the Bills, come after us.
Yeah.
And who was a quote? What was that quote? I can't remember the quote. There was a quote saying about it. I think you may have mentioned it earlier. But we're here. You've got to beat us.
It's going to be a rowdy old night, isn't it? A Monday night primetime game, Bills at home. Yeah, let's hope the Titans are up for it, because if you're going to force Tannehill to throw, then you know if they can at least slow down the run game, and then in the meantime the Bills just take over. Yeah, it could get ugly, and if they clean up the turnovers, it could start getting ugly.
The one last thing I want to actually to leave on before we end the show, I'm assuming that everyone heard it during the broadcast. Obviously, Peyton Manning had Omaha.
Oh, yes, yes.
Big Ben had Blue 80. Josh Allen, blue cheese.
Yeah.
How many times? I hope he actually adapts that all the way through the season.
Why not? Yeah. Good luck. He's a Buffalo guy now. Come on.
Yeah, run. That's his town.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no. So week one is in the books. So we're 1-0, another 18, 19 games to go.
Yeah.
18, 19 more wins.
16 more
to secure the number one seed.
Yeah.
So let's not get ahead of ourselves. There's 16 more wins.
All right. Okay. Take that. 16. All right. I'm gonna fast forward already to February.
Yeah.
I'm already going to book that day off. I'm going to already book in pre-anticipation that it's going to be off. But week one's in the book, 31-10, beating the Rams in the Rams' house, which is now Josh Allen and the Bills' house. You can find us all on social media. You can find Mark at...
This is Sparky S.
Robin at...
Robin C. Armstrong.
Me at Matt SW86, UK _ Bills at RWBB _ podcast, Buffalo Bills UK on Facebook, YouTube, UK _ Bills on Instagram. And for the three of us, I say good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Thank you for listening. Keep subscribing and following. And let's go, Buffalo Bills.
Go, Bills.
Yeah,
no,
not us. You don't know anything about heart. You don't know anything about work. Huh? That's who we are.
Bills on three. One, two, three.